Tonight I'd like to speak on the topic, What in the World Are Angels Doing? We live in a day in which people are receiving visitations from outer space, in which men believe that there are extraterrestrial beings, which is not uncommon for scientists to believe that there is indeed life on other planets. And we who have believed the Bible for, lo, these many years are happy to see the intellectual community catch up with God. For the Bible has said for years that this planet has been visited by beings from outer space. The Bible has said for thousands of years that there are indeed visitors from outer space who have come here on numerous occasions with messages for men. They are indeed called angels, and we'd like to speak about these visitors from outer space. First of all, according to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30, angels do not marry, nor are given in marriage, because angels are sexless beings. Angels have great wisdom. They know things in advance. According to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 20, but my Lord is wise like the wisdom of an angel of God. They are not only great in wisdom, but the Bible says that angels are superior in power to men. 2 Peter 2:11, whereas angels, who are greater in might and power, do not bring reviling judgments against them before the Lord. So they are spiritual, created, not eternal, invisible, non-material, super-intelligent, and super-powerful beings. They have personalities. They have intellect by knowledge. They have wills that can decide for or against. Some decided against God, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude, and also 1 Timothy chapter 3. Angels are incredibly beautiful beings. We read in Matthew chapter 28, His appearance was like lightning, and His garment as white as snow. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 15 says, I looked at the living being. Behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings for each of the four of them. And the appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl. And all four of them had the same form. As the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. They are splendous. They are beings of splendor and great glory because they radiate the glory of God. That's who angels are. Now let's try and answer the question, what in the world are angels doing? Well, before we can really answer that question, we have to ask a previous one. What in heaven are angels doing? Because that's where they were created, and that's what they do primarily. First of all, the Bible says that in heaven, angels worship and praise God. Angels do exactly what we were doing here tonight. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. And it continues in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes round and within, day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy. They cry the Ter Sanctus before the Almighty God who is and was and who is to come. Angels not only worship and praise, but angels are the priests or ministers in the heavenly tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 says, And of the angels, He saith, who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. Revelation chapter 8, verse 4, And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. There was an angel ministering in the heavenly tabernacle before the very presence of God. Furthermore, not only do angels worship and praise God in heaven, minister in His heavenly tabernacle, but they obey and serve His every command. Psalm 103, verse 20, Bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word, obeying the voice of His word. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you. They just stand before the presence of God, waiting for an order to be given by a fiat of the infinite God, and then to flutter forth to the universe to perform His commands. Strangely enough, angels are mediators of God's law. God is the great universal administrator. And as a good administrator, he doesn't do things himself. He delegates authority. And one of the delegated authorities of angels, Acts chapter 7, verse 53, is to mediate God's law, to be a go-between between God and man. It says, "You who received the law as ordained by angels and did not keep it." The law was not given to Moses on the Mount directly. The law was given to angels who gave the law to Moses, who gave the law to the people. Galatians 3:19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgression, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come to whom the promise has been made. Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable to every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Furthermore, angels are harvesters in God's great harvest field. Matthew 13, verse 41, "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all out of his kingdom that are stumbling blocks, and throw those into the lake of fire, but the righteous will be gathered into eternal life." Matthew 24:31. "He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds." Do you realize that Christ himself is not going to directly gather his elect, that angels will gather his elect? Indeed, at the second coming, it will not be the voice of God that sounds forth. It's the voice of the archangel and the trump of God that is proclaimed when Christ comes again. Furthermore, angels are God's, are the agents of God's reign over the universe. God uses angels to control the entire universe. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me 21 days. There are angelic powers behind each of the nations of the world for good and for evil." Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people," there is a special angel to protect the children of Israel. Michael is the name of that angel. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl upon the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up that the way might be prepared for the kings of the east. And the angels were released in order that they might gather men together for the battle of Armageddon in the last day." Furthermore, angels are instruments of God's control over the universe. This is one of the most incredible things in all of the Scripture, that angels are the means by which God keeps the stars in the orbit. You remember that strange verse in Judges that says, "The stars in their courses fought against Sisera"? You see, behind a lot of the witchcraft and superstition in the world, there's always a fragment of truth. And the fragment of truth is that angels are called stars in the Bible. Job chapter 38, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Angels sang at the cornerstone laying of the earth." Revelation chapter 12, "The angels of God," and Satan took a third of them when he fell to earth. Revelation chapter 16, verse 8, "The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to scorch men with fire." Revelation 8, verse 12, "The fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun and a third part of the stars were smitten." They have power over the forces of nature. They also have power over the earth as well as the sun. All of the basic elements from the ancient Greek world, the water, you remember, in the air, and the earth, and fire, every single one of these are described as under the power of angels. For example, earthquakes in Psalm 18:7. Wind, Revelation 7:1, fire, Revelation 14:18, water, Revelation 16:3, land, Revelation 8:7, and even over the abyss, the depth of the sea, Revelation chapter 20, where the devil and his angels will be cast. Angels are instruments of God's judgment. He doesn't directly judge people. He does it through angels in the Bible. In 1 Samuel, or rather 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 16, "When the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it," we read. In 2 Kings 19:35, "Then it happened that night that the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000. I once computed that one angel here in one night killed 185,000. Jesus said he could have called for 12 legions of angels. If you multiply that within a few hours, they could have wiped out the whole population of the world. What in the world are angels doing? Well, in heaven, they're obeying God's command, worshiping, praising, glorifying God, standing in his presence, governing all of the forces of nature, ready to fly to any part of the universe to do what God commands. But I think you and I are probably more interested in what on earth are angels doing. And so I'd like to turn our attention to that for a moment and to find out from Scripture what on earth angels have done. One of the most fascinating aspects of this study of angels is that angels, at every crucial point in the life of Christ, ministered to him. So the first thing we'd like to talk about, on what on earth did angels do in the life of Christ, the Son of God? And then secondly, what do angels do on earth in the lives of the sons of God? Number one, angels predicted his birth. Luke 1:26, an angel announced it. Number two, an angel announced his birth, Luke 2 and verse 9. Three, angels protected him from Herod. You remember it was an angel that said to his parents, leave, Herod is going to kill all the children, and they fled to Egypt, Matthew 2:13. Four, angels directed his parents when they were down in Egypt that it was time to go back to the land of Palestine, that Herod was dead. Five, angels ministered to him after the temptation, Matthew 4. When Jesus was tempted, and when Jesus had not eaten for over a month, and he was hungry and weak, angels came to him and ministered to the Son of God. Imagine that. The one who created the universe, angels, are ministering to his physical needs after the temptation. Number six, angels strengthened him in the garden. Read Luke 22:43, where angels came to Jesus in his most desperate hour when he cried, the cup could pass away from me, Father, please let it pass away from me. Angels came and encouraged him so that he would be strengthened to go on to the cross to die for you and me at that crucial moment in human history. Number seven, angels would have saved him from the cross. Matthew 26:53. 72,000 angels were fluttering overhead when Jesus was on the cross, ready to save him from the cross if he had called on them. He could have called for 12 legions of angels, we read in that verse. But he did not call on them because he wanted to die for our sins. Number eight, angels rolled the stone from the tomb. Not so that Jesus could get out, but so that the people could get in and see that he is not here. He is risen. He has conquered death. Number nine, angels witnessed him after the resurrection. There's a curious verse in 1 Timothy 3:16 in which it says, he died, he rose, and was seen of angels. They witnessed the resurrection of Christ. Number 10, they announced his resurrection in Luke 24, verse 6, when they said, he is not here, he is risen. Number 11, they announced his ascension. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. It was angels who announced his ascension. Number 12, angels are subject to his sovereignty. 1 Peter 3:22, Ephesians 1:20 says that angels are made subject to him as he sits at the right hand of the Father. 13, angels will accompany him at his second coming, Matthew 25:31. When Jesus comes, it is with his mighty angels that he will return to this world. 14, angels will aid him in judging the wicked when he gathers together out of all of the world his elect and separates them from the wicked as the wheat from the tares. 15, angels will worship him forever, Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, around the throne, day and night, forever and ever. 15 different points from eternity to eternity, angels ministered to and with and by and for our Lord Jesus Christ. What on earth are angels doing? Just about everything conceivable in the life of Christ. Now, what on earth are angels doing for us? I've never seen one. Have you? On the other hand, I've never seen an atom. I've never seen a virus. I believe in both of them. I've never seen the wind. But I do see the results of all of these things, and I think the believer who has never seen, who lives by faith and not by sight, can nevertheless be assured that angels are ministering to us. The first thing angels do in ministering to us is that they reveal God's will to us. At almost every juncture in the history of redemption, when God wanted to reveal something to men, he sent an angel. He sent an angel to Abraham. He sent an angel to Manoah. He sent an angel to Moses. He sent an angel to Daniel. He sent an angel in the Gospel of Luke to the early disciples. He sent angels in the book of Revelation in almost every chapter to reveal something. And Paul, you recall, in Galatians, talked about angels from heaven. Angels reveal God's will to mankind. Secondly, angels deliver us from evil. Angels are those instruments of God in our life to keep us back from evil. Genesis 19, when Lot backslid and got himself in a wicked situation, angels came and practically dragged him out of the city. His wife, you remember, was reluctant. She turned back, and Morton Salt Company picked her up because she would not respond to the ministry of angels. Furthermore, we read that angels minister to our needs. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, angels are ministering spirits. They're helpers. They want to do what they can for the believers. Number 4, angels answer prayer. I thought God answered prayer. He does, but he delegates authority. He sends an angel to answer the prayer. When you pray, there are innumerable angels. The Bible says there are thousands and tens of thousands and thousands times thousands, thousands. There are as many angels as there are stars. They're called stars. And scientists tell us that you can't number the stars. As a matter of fact, there are as many stars in the universe as there are grains of sand in all the seashores in all the world put together. You just try and count a basket full of grains of sand, you'll go nuts doing that, let alone trying to figure out how much sand there is in the whole world. There are innumerable angels. Angels are just fluttering everywhere in the universe, and they're ready to reveal God's will, deliver us from evil, minister to our needs, and answer prayer. Daniel 10. Daniel was praying, and an angel was sent from heaven with the prayer answered to Daniel. Acts chapter 12. They were having a prayer meeting. Rhoda was there at the door. Peter was in prison. God sent an angel and answered their prayer. Peter stood right at the door, and they're praying for him. They couldn't believe that their prayer was answered. There was Peter standing at the door. Not only do they answer prayers, but they provide our needs, whatever our needs may be. Compare Genesis 21, Psalm 78, 1 Kings 19. Whatever the needs of the people of God are, angels are there to minister to them. Angels were the ones, undoubtedly in Scripture, that spoke to the ravens to drop the food to Elijah. As a matter of fact, angels were the ones who dropped the bread in the wilderness. It says in Psalm 78, they were fed with angel food. Not food that angels eat, but food that angels dropped. All of the manna in the wilderness was dropped by angels. Furthermore, angels are used to guide the people of God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, to guide the people of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 10, verse 11. Peter was guided by an angel. They are also used to strengthen and encourage us. You ever feel discouraged and suddenly get uplifted? It was an angel of God sent by God to encourage you. Matthew 4, 11. Matthew 22, 43. Luke 22, 42. Acts 27, 25. All passages talking about the strengthening and encouraging of angels. When you die, you get an angel escort to heaven. God sends angels fluttering down to escort your soul through alien territory, because between us and heaven, there's the prince and the power of the air. There are the evil angels, where the prince of Media and Persia and Greece and all of those wicked angels that control the atmosphere, that the Bible says are there as part of the evil forces that fell in the beginning. But through that alien territory, God will send an angelic escort guard. You say, where's that passage? Luke chapter 16, verse 22. That when he died, he was taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Furthermore, Jude verse 9 indicates that angels are even carrying over the dead body of Moses, because God didn't want anyone to reveal where Moses was buried, perhaps so no one could worship. And then the devil wanted to reveal it, and Michael the archangel stood up against him and said, "The Lord rebuke you," and protected the dead body of Moses so that no one could reveal it for worship. Number 10, angels aid in the resurrection. In Daniel chapter 12, it's Michael, the prince, who stands up, and then those who are in the dust of the earth rise. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's the voice of the archangel and the trump of God that is sounded at the resurrection of the dead when Christ will return. Not only do they assist in the resurrection, but angels assist in redemption. Read Numbers chapter 20 and verse 16. Which talks about, "He, the Lord, sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt." I thought God took him out of Egypt. He did, but he did it by an angel. In fact, the angel of his presence saved them, Isaiah 63 and verse 9. Angels assist in redemption. And incidentally, if you're not a Christian and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, there are a whole group of angels. There's a whole choir up there right now, and they want to sing a song, and they can't sing it until you commit your life to Christ. But when you commit your life to Christ, the angels rejoice in heaven, Luke 15, verse 10. And this choir is waiting to sing. And if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, commit your life to Jesus Christ, and you'll initiate one of the most glorious choirs the universe has ever heard, Luke 15, 10. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner. You don't have to have 10. You don't have to have a whole Billy Graham campaign. You just need one person, one single person here tonight who would trust Jesus Christ, and an angel choir would break out in music incomparable. Furthermore, angels protect us. Yes, there are guardian angels. It is true. Guardian angels. The Bible says in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." God has often rescued his redeemed at crucial points. If you want to read some interesting stories about this, they're recorded throughout the very fine book on angels written by Billy Graham entitled Angels, Angels, Angels. Psalm 35:5, "Let them be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them out." Matthew 18:10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Every little child even has a guardian angel who constantly protects them and in the presence of God represents them before the Father. Acts chapter 27, verse 23, "For this very night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all these who are sailing with you.'" God sent an angel to speak to Paul. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to render service for those who shall inherit salvation?" You have a servant, and this servant ministers to your redemptive needs from the very time, I believe, from the very time you are born to the time the escort comes to take you into the presence of God. A guardian angel is with you at all of that time, ministering to every need that you have. Revelation verse 7, verse 2, chapter 7, verse 2, "And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea." They sealed the believers, those angels in the book of Revelation. Well, what in the world are angels doing? Just about everything. You name it, and they're doing it. What in heaven are they doing? Just about everything. What in the universe are they doing? Just about everything. In fact, it's incredible that we can get through our whole life and not recognize the tremendous role of angels that have been played in the lives of the believer. I think there's something wrong about our overemphasis upon demons today. How many good books do you know on angels, when there are just literally dozens and dozens of books on bad angels? First of all, that's lopsided, because there are twice as many good angels as there are bad angels. Revelation chapter 12 says only one-third of all the angels fell. That means two-thirds of them are good. So we ought to at least give twice as much time to angels. Secondly, There are over 300 verses in the Bible on angels. You may think that I quoted all of them to you in the last 15 or 20 minutes. I did not. I just touched the surface of some of them. There are over 300 verses. Angels are a major teaching in the Bible. And we ought to know about angels, who they are, what they're up to, both in heaven and on earth, and appreciate their role. Now, what relationship should we have as believers to angels? What relationship should we bear to them? Well, first of all, we must remember that the believer's relation to angels is that you and I are created lower than angels. We must respect angels. Both the book of Jude and Peter tells us about their dignity. Even fallen angels are not to be cursed by human beings, according to those books. Secondly, we must recognize not only are we created lower than angels, but we are ministered to by them. Though we are lower, they are ministering to us. But the most important thing is that you and I are not to worship angels. Admire, respect, thank God for, but not worship. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, the greatest of all the angels was encountering the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." We do not serve angels, they serve us. We do not use angels as instruments to get to God. Angels are God's instruments to get to us, but not our instruments to get to God. Furthermore, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, I read, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind." Tomorrow morning, I'm going to speak on the topic, do angels appear to believers in the world today, and do they bring revelations to men in the world today? Billy Graham has said they do. Some of the most famous evangelical leaders in the world today have alerted the evangelical world to beware that angels are coming with revelation. Is this true or is it false? One thing I'll say now, without tipping the hand for tomorrow morning, is that we are not to worship angels when they appear, if they appear. Angels are forbidden for worship. God only should be worshipped. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 8. "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard it, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And the angel said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God.'" The angel that brought the last revelation to the last apostle, when John fell at his feet, the angel said, "Absolutely no, stand up, don't worship me, worship God." We are created lower than they are, ministered to by them, and are not to worship them. We are to respect them, to appreciate their ministry, to admire their example of faithful service to God, to be ready to entertain strangers, Hebrews 13, 2, "For thereby some have entertained angels unawares," but to beware of false or fallen ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says, "The devil is transformed into an angel of light, and his ministers into ministers of righteousness." 1 John 4, 1 says, "Test the spirits, whether they be of God." We do not accept another gospel from them if they came with another gospel. Galatians 1:8 says, "Though an angel from heaven came with another gospel, let him be accursed." It's the pastor of a church in Boise, Idaho, who some time ago received a number of revelations from an angel, which pastor, by the way, just recently dropped dead in his office at age 61. And there's a whole cult growing up around that experience. We must be very careful not to accept another gospel from any angel, even if we're an angel from heaven. Do not approach God through them, Colossians 2:18, 1 Timothy 2:5. Angels are God's agent to us, not our agents to God. We are going someday to be exalted above the angels, created lower than the angels, redeemed by Christ, and will be exalted above the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, we'll judge angels. That's incredible. We can't even judge ourselves in our own work, and we're going to judge angels someday. And the thing that I think is the perhaps most significant note to conclude this on is that Christians, be encouraged. Angels are watching you. Do you know right now that you have a whole grandstand? Now, if any of you have been in athletics, you know you always play better before a full house. And there's a full house of angels just watching us, and the Bible says they are watching and waiting to see how we do. Angels observe us. Why do they observe us? What are they trying to find out? Listen to these curious verses. 1 Peter 1:12. They observe us to learn about the grace of God. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Angels just long to look into the things of our redemption. They're curious beings to understand how the grace of God works in our life. Probably because when angels sinned, they were cast down to hell, the Bible says, in chains of darkness, reserved to judgment to that day. In other words, when they sinned, they were unredeemable. Hebrews 2:14 and following, Christ did not take on him the nature of angels, but the nature of man. And they wonder how in the world these sinful beings, the sons of Adam, can get away with it, what they get away with. One toot and we root, the angels say. And they've been at it for all of these years and God hasn't kicked them out. They're absolutely amazed at what God is doing. 1 Peter 1:12. Also, angels look at us to learn God's mystery. They are mystified and they are studying the mystery of God. Ephesians 3:10. Angels look into the church in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to angels, rulers, and authorities in heavenly places. Think of that. They want the grace of God and the wisdom of God. In fact, angels are God's graduate school of the universe. They are studying two courses, God's wisdom and God's grace. And the curriculum is the church. That's you, me, the church. What a curriculum for angels to study. Angels watch over the church. Do you know that angels are upset when we don't follow God's hierarchical order as laid up in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Angels are highly ranked. Angels have a ranking, and they can't figure when we get out of rank. When we get for reversing God's order, you know, and when we go for things that God has not ordained, such as the reversing of the headship of the male in the family. God has made the man head, and the woman should be subject to her head. And when that isn't performed in the church, angels look in and they can't figure out how in the world does that church get away with that? A church actually there getting away with disrupting the order of the universe? Well, when that happened to us, a third of us were kicked out of heaven. How come they're still in the church? Angels also witness our testimony. When you give your testimony, angels are standing by. 1 Timothy 5:21. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. He was charging Timothy in the presence of God and of the holy angels. Angels rejoice over our salvation, and angels are part of the great household of God. We are going to be fellow partakers in God's household with angels. Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. Won't that be great when those invisible, created, wonderful beings who have served us all these years will be fellow partakers in the glory of heaven. And incidentally, we and the angels are going to bow before the throne and sing redemption story. Now, I know I don't want to be too hard on hymn writers. Not all hymn writers are very profound theologians. Some were. Charles Wesley was great. But some of them get a little mixed up. When we sing redemption story, they will fold their wings. It is false. You've got to change some of those songs in order to believe the Bible. You have to just eliminate some words or change. Here's what I do that one. When we sing Redemption Story, they will flap their wings. I just kind of change that so that I can get it in accord with the Bible. Because you read Revelation 5, and the angels are singing. They sang at creation, Job 38:7. They sang when incarnation, Luke 2, when Christ came to the world, and they'll sing at redemption in heaven. And we're all going to join them someday. And we'll sound as good as this wonderful music we heard here tonight, singing with the angels to the glory and praise of God. Well, what in the world are angels doing? They're doing just about everything. I think you can agree. Let's praise God for His wonderful provision for us through angels. Our Father, we thank You and glorify and praise Your name because as the great cosmic administrator, as the great administrator of all of the affairs of the universe, You have delegated to these wonderful beings the amazing task that revolve around the universe, the creation of the world, the redemption of man, the praising of Your holy name. And we're grateful to You, God, for what You have done. And we humbly acknowledge that if we were nearly as faithful as these servants of Yours who day and night praise Your name, who instantly respond to Your command, that we certainly would be turning the world upside down for You. And so we thank You for Your grace in redeeming and saving us and putting up with us in our rebellion when we remember that the angels that sinned lost their first estate and were cast down to hell. Thank You for Your love to us. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.